This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. This is Attention Talk Radio, and our topic tonight is ADHD, the elderly, their issues, and a call for research. With us in our virtual studio is Gina Pera. Soon become a frequent flyer on Attention Talk Radio. I think this is her fourth episode with us, and she's an incredible resource and actually a guest that I really need to have on more frequently because she's a wealth of knowledge. And in getting ready for this show, she really illuminated a lot of stuff for me in my personal education. So we're real excited to have her. Before we get into the meat of the show real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, August the 13th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few short announcements real quickly. One, it's not too late to start planning for the CHAD conference. We've been talking about this since February. If you've got ADHD, you need to go and you need to connect with your tribe. The event is from November 13th to the 15th. It's in Chicago, Illinois. You can learn more information and register for the conference at chadd.org. I know I'm very excited about it. I've kind of alluded to in the last couple shows some things that I'm going to be doing, but I'm kind of excited because I think it's pretty much public. I'm actually going to be interviewing a 19-year-old open-wheel race car driver named Luca Forgas, who is aspiring to make Indy, and he's got an incredible story, and it's going to be fun because I've only done one interview live in front of a crowd before, and this is going to be my second, so I'm kind of really looking forward to it. You definitely need to check this out. You need to kind of go. If you've never been to an ADHD conference, it's really – you learn a ton of information, but it's really about going and connecting with your tribe, getting to know people. I learned so much between breakout sessions and in the hallways talking to some of the experts. So if you never thought about it before, I please encourage you to do so. And as an added part of that, if you go to Attention Talk video – we actually, 2 years ago in San Francisco, I shot a bunch of videos of volunteers and speakers and attendees, and it's a little bit of a documentary. If you just Google Attention Talk Video and CHAD Conference, it'll come up, and you can get a real sense of that. I know it was a great experience. It was the 25th anniversary, and Gina Pera was actually kind of the host of the gala while we were there. One other quick announcement. I've been mentioning this quite frequently, Dr. Barkley had reached out to me several months ago to promote ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing website to raise funds. So often research gets funded by those with maybe an interest in some things, and there's a lot of really good things that need to be checked out, but there's not funding. The idea here is to really raise some money that's not earmarked for something, for things that really need to be done. So I got to give them a plug. It's a really kind of a good cause, so I encourage you to go check that out. Let's get on with this show tonight. Again, I'm really excited about this. The topic is the elderly, their issues, and a call for research. And again, Gina's with us. She's a former prize-winning print journalist, and I don't know if former, she's just a great journalist. She devoted the last 15 years exclusively to researching, writing, and speaking about ADHD, particularly its effect on relationships. Her groundbreaking book in 2008 is It You, Me, or Adult ADHD, Stopping the Roller Coaster When Someone You Love Has Attention Deficit Disorder, garnered 4 national book awards and remains a bestseller. It is hailed as a guide to not only understanding adult ADHD and its treatment strategies, but also to dealing with the emotional baggage associated with late diagnosis for adults with ADHD and their loved ones. And we'll be talking about late diagnosis tonight for just not adults, but actually those a little bit later. She's got a new book that's coming out we're real excited about in 2015, ADHD Focus Couples Therapy, a clinical guide from Routledge Publishing. She's also working with Dr. Barclay, who asked her to contribute the chapter on couples therapy to his gold standard clinical guide, ADHD Diagnosis and Treatment Handbook, that's from Guilford Press in 2014. Gina's a popular speaker, and she does lots of workshops leading. You know, she also leads and moderates a 1,000-member online group for the Partners of Adults with ADHD and leads a popular ADHD group in Silicon Valley. She also offers private consultation. And with that, to learn more about Gina, I encourage you to go to her website. She's got two. One is ginapara.com. That's G-I-N-A-P-R-A.com. And the other one is ADHDrollercoaster.org. Well, all that. Gina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
You know,
And I'm glad it's early on the West Coast because, you know, us old folk need to go to the early bird special. So it's 5 o'clock in California. And so I can make it to the early bird special at the local restaurant.
Old folk. Come on, Gina. We're not that old. It's just, you know, about a month ago, I just celebrated my 30th anniversary of my 19th birthday.
Well, congratulations. I'm not going to do the math right now.
Catches everybody off guard, but, you know, I'm still 19 at heart. So I got to tell you, it's been way too long. It's been too long for not having you on the show, but I'm really excited about tonight's topic because elderly, there's a lot of research on kids. There's some on adults. And you've illuminated my eyes. There's more research that's been done on the elderly than I thought, but still there's not a lot out there. I want to kind of get into some stories and stuff in a second, but just can you give your perspective on that?
I can't say, you know, why there's not a lot. I think that, you know, sometimes research is, it may not be specifically on ADHD, but there's a lot of research being done now, especially with a brain focus, now that we can actually study what's happening in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of relevant information, even if it's not specifically ADHD. There might be, there's studies on dopamine transmission and how that is affected by age. And so sometimes, you know, it's extrapolation. But I'm writing a little ebook on this topic, and so I have about an inch thick folder of various studies that have ADHD either as a primary focus or as a significant focus.
Hmm.
So
well, when do you expect to have
there.
The e-book out? When are you going to have that out
soon?
As soon
as I finish this couple therapy book, I'm working on it. Maybe in about 4 or 5 months.
And if I wanted to get that, I want to get that, Gina. So
yes,
either
I'll
website, ginapara.com,
you know,
is that?
Yeah, well, I'm not the best marketing person to organize all this. You know, my blog is probably the best, ADHDrollercoaster.org. That's where I publish various essays and news of research and studies, and so I'll probably have it there.
Well, here, do me a favor. If you can remember,
send
me a copy of it, and we'll send it out on Tension Talk newsletter so we can kind of get out for those that listen to the show and do that so we can kind of get it out for you.
Okay.
So,
you know,
I've been trying
to interest my friends in the media in this for the longest time because I have friends who are writers and who work for, like, AARP, but I can't get them to understand it, how important this is. So I'm really grateful you're doing this show. Sorry to interrupt you, Jeff.
Whoa. You've been trying to talk to people at AARP to illuminate them on this?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I have a lot of writer friends, and so people that are, you know, either regular freelancers or whatever, and it's just, you know, there's so much skepticism about ADHD, and then when you talk about it in old people, I think they just can't, they're still thinking of the little kids in school, you know, so there's just kind of a disconnect. So I figured I have to write the darn thing myself, so that's what I'm doing.
Wow. I never thought about that. AARP is the place to go to as a distribution source. I'm glad that you're thinking of some of this stuff because it's on the forefront. I mean, and we'll get into this stuff. I mean, I think this is a fascinating topic for me. So, you were telling me a little bit of a story that you had of a woman at a support group or something like that. Can you share that with our audience and we'll kind of start getting into some of the issues here?
Yeah, it's just a quick little story that I thought was funny. I gave a talk last year in San Francisco, and this young woman, maybe in her 20s, said, you know, wow, it was so exciting to learn about ADHD because she has it, didn't quite understand it, and she was there with her father, and she was thinking these things, a lot of these things described her mother, too. And for her mother, hoarding and clutter is a huge issue, as it is for many people with ADHD. And it's creating grounds for probably her husband leaving her. So this is not a light issue. But she says, but my mother is almost 60, so it's probably too late for her, right? And, you know, I gulped because, you know, I've gotten the AARP mailings. And, you know, and I encourage her to tell her mother and join her mother in seeking an evaluation and maybe treatment, because there is so much to gain at any age, really. This is a lifespan condition, and it's never too late to learn.
So you said evaluation, and I want to kind of back up. Everybody, I want to be very clear. I have a lot of opinions. Most of them are inaccurate, but I do share them every once in a while. One of those is I've noticed the world seems to be getting more self-service, and I have a theory that because of that, more and more people that were able to function with ADHD because they had compensatory strategies are starting to struggle, and they're getting diagnosed more and more later in life just because of that kind of lifestyle change. It's just been kind of fascinating to me, and I've actually coached a few people that are in their 60s and 70s that didn't get diagnosed at that point in time, and the concept of the evaluation and trying to find somebody that can diagnose this gets to be really kind of interesting and tricky, it seems to me, because is it ADD, is it something else, and it requires a certain amount of specialization. So can you just kind of talk about some of the issues related to this that are unique to the elderly population?
Well, you know, I would say we have those problems with every age group.
Getting
a proper evaluation and treatment. So it's not going to be anything different with the elderly. Now, the thing is, you know, a lot of these people were coming up when there was no talk of ADHD in adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thought, you know, the research that we do have says that there's no reason to think that they are having ADHD in any lower numbers than the rest of adults. And that very conservative figure is 4.6. A lot of experts think it's more, and I do too. But here's what's happening. People retire, and we know that transitions can be difficult for people with ADHD. So if they're lucky enough to retire to be able to afford that, they've got this transition to manage, what to do with all that free time. And it can cause a huge problem in relationships. I hear about this a lot because sometimes the structure that they had at work provided a kind of stabilizing influence. But then when they're home and nothing to do, all kinds of trouble, you know, can erupt and conflict. And then there are some of those that have the empty nest syndrome. They've been focusing, you know, hyper-focus, if you will, on their children, and then their children are gone, and then, you know, their life, they don't have much to get up for in the morning.
So
I
want to harp on this because this is interesting. Retirement, as an ADHD coach, we go to the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference, and, you know, one of the things that we talk about is we get the phone calls at life transitions that you highlighted so brilliantly. It's high school to college, well, it's middle school to high school to college, college to the working world, divorce, a changing of jobs, and or probation. Those are the times when we get the phone calls are in those changes of life, and retirement is literally no different. And
yes.
I think it's brilliant that you kind of highlight that stuff because it's not just that transition, like because you lose the structure. We've had some shows talking about how those with ADHD who get sentenced to prison, they lose all of the tools that they deal with structure, and they kind of move along and they kind of go out and they struggle with it a little bit. But the thing that's fascinating
same with the military, same with people leaving the military.
Yes, But that transition time is a big time where it kind of gets ferreted out. And I did an article a while ago with Ari Tuchman on boredom and its impact. And the people that are bored, the incidence of depression actually increases. And so there's this whole space in this transition that I think is really kind of unique, where you begin to lose that structure that you had in life, and you're going through a transition, and it can really create some problem, which you've already said that, but I just wanted to highlight that because I think it's a bigger deal than what people
right.
think.
And I just want to mention, you said in a risk for depression. I would add a caution, because I'm very concerned about people in these situations being called depressed. You know, everybody is a doctor at diagnosing depression now. We think we know what depression is. But, you know, ADHD can look like depression, as I'm sure
yes.
you know. And it's for these folks who have, you know, lost their work, you know, where they are somebody, where
yep.
they have their
yep.
contacts and their structure, and people can say, oh, he's depressed or she's depressed. And then, oh, what do? You give them an SSRI and the family doctor. Well, guess what? That can make ADD worse. So,
yes.
you know, the next thing that happens, you know, maybe they're more impulsive, or maybe they're actually having cardiovascular issues, because that can have an adverse effect in that way. So it's just this giant, you know, negative chain effect when you don't know what you're dealing with.
Oh, my God, there's so much to talk about. You know, the first time I ever had you on, Gene, we were talking about sex and intimacy, and halfway through I'm going, oh, my God, we've got to do a second show this, just because it was so kind of amazing. And I need to go to a commercial break, but that – I just want to kind of pause for a second, because you talk about depression. So often when I'm talking to people, were they depressed first and they have ADD, or did they have ADD and that creates the depression?
Right. And, you know, that's the age-old question. You have a break now, though, right? We can talk about that?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it, then we'll go to a break right after this.
Okay. So, but I'm just saying that people are so glib with this idea of depression. You know, like that's what it is. Well, no, it can be under stimulation. And, you know, an interesting thing, long time ago, like maybe 50, 60, maybe even longer ago, it wasn't unusual for old people to be given a stimulant to deal with their kind of lethargy and lack of interest in life. And then they fell out of favor because, you know, it did cause problems with some people who had pre-existing cardiovascular uh-huh. issues. But you know, it's not like there's not a precedent for this in the past, you know, that
yep, yep.
that it was realized.
Awesome. We need to go to a break. Everybody, two great websites, GinaPera.com, GINAPERA.com, or the ADHDRollerCoaster.org. Gina, can they get your books on both sites, or...
Amazon or Barnes & Noble are good sources, or Barnes & Noble stores.
Piece of cake. And I have to tell you that the cool part about my business is everybody sends me a book, and Gina was kind enough to send me her book, Is It You, Me, or Adult ADHD, a while ago, and most of you know that I don't read a lot of books, but I actually flipped through hers, and there's some really good stuff in there, so I highly endorse. Go check it out. There's a lot to learn. So with that, we'll be
it's
right back.
It's also an audiobook. It's an audiobook, Jeff, so you
That's
can it. Listen
hey,
to that.
Now you're talking my language here. I can listen to that while I'm driving down the road. Well, here, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Gina Pera in the house, and we are focused on ADHD, the elderly, and their issues, and there is some research out there, as I'm learning, but we need more, so I'm trying to make a call for that. And one of the focuses of tonight's show is actually just really to kind of help start or perpetuate the discussion or the conversation about ADHD and the elderly. And I'm thrilled that that Gina's actually, she's way ahead of me here talking to people she knows and writers at AARP, because that's a great audience for us to kind of get that discussion kind of going. Gina, I got a question for you. Does ADHD worsen or improve with age?
You know, that's a good question. As far as I can tell from, you know, synthesizing what's been written, it's like everything else with ADHD. It depends on the person. You know, some adults have developed very powerful coping skills over their lifetime, mm-hmm. such as maintaining structure, you know, taking mm-hmm. notes about important matters. And if they've also taken care of their health and their finances, there's no reason that they, you know, should decline. There's mm-hmm. there is no medical evidence that there's any decline in that sense. But for other adults, you know, that have lived many decades with ADHD and not knowing they have it, that can be a very painful culmination of fallout. You know, they might never have reached certain educational career goals or even kept a steady job. Their finances might be very limited. If they had difficulty keeping friendships or good relations with their family, they might have very spotty support networks, and they might feel very isolated. Increasingly, ADHD is thought to be associated with risk of illness due to poor health habits. You know, and we know, you know, all the emerging data is that exercise, diet, sleep, all these things are what you wanted to do to preserve brain function into mm-hmm. your later years. So in a way, people with ADHD, while specifically ADHD may not get worse over time, we don't know that, but the health habits could make mm-hmm. their cognitive function worse and their health worse. And so then that's you get into the situation where they have cardiovascular events, and then the doctors say, no, you can't have a stimulant, but that's not exactly true. You know, I think it takes a certain specialist to even prescribe older people a stimulant. Some, you know, general psychiatrists won't do it if the person's over 65.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's another hurdle they might have to drop through. But there's no evidence that the medications pose a risk for older people who don't have cardiovascular issues. And if their cardiovascular issues are stabilized, there's often no risk of medication making it worse. But Strattera and Adderall, the amphetamines, actually have a higher side effect profile than do methylphenidate. So that's one thing to watch for.
Gina, and forgive me, I'm going to have to talk out loud here for a second to kind of get it, because as you advance in age, I had a health problem a couple years ago, and I have a thyroid condition. I got to tell you something. If I'm on my thyroid medication, oh, my God, I can't focus on anything. I mean, there's no motivation. It's just really, really kind of incredible. And as you get older, and let me digress too. We interviewed Linda Rogley a couple years ago, many years ago actually, on the ADD Diva, and she would talk about ADDAGE, or menopause, because she specializes in coaching women that are going through a change in life. And when you kind of go through that stuff, a lot's changing, and, you know, is it ADD, or are you getting older and being more forgetful, or is it the hormonal stuff? And I'm teeing all this stuff up because as you start to get older and you might have some of these things, maybe a thyroid conditions, maybe other conditions, maybe Alzheimer's, it seems to me that ADD can be commonly misdiagnosed as some of these other things. I mean, I think my point is it gets really cloudy.
No, you're right. But I think probably the misdiagnosis more often goes in the other direction. I think probably thyroid conditions are more likely to be diagnosed in older people, especially women, than ADD.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do an evaluation for ADHD, you do all the other stuff. You know, you take the history. You want the symptoms to have been present since, you know, childhood.
Gina, hang on a second. Let's back up here a second. You've been doing this long enough, and I know you. That's what's supposed to happen, right?
Well, that's what I am always clamoring about.
then yes, that's the reason why you were such a great fit, because you're such an advocate for doing it, right? And I want to be kind of careful here because I don't – but the idea is there's a lot of people out there that there's a lot of diagnoses that aren't really as thorough as maybe they should be. And I just have to digress there for a little bit because I don't want to make a big issue of it. But
I know, but you know what, Jeff? The diagnosis for thyroid disorders are – I mean, don't get me started on our medical system. You know, people aren't – they're being given thyroid medication without being even checked for their iodine levels. You know, so
yep.
You know, we could talk for hours on that, you know, but the thing is, do want a history, you know, and there are, you know, the telltale signs of ADHD throughout your life. It's not just you're coming in and saying, I'm confused, I'm, you know, tired.
Yep.
You need the history.
And here's the deal. Gina, you did a great job. We're not going to necessarily go there, but I think one of my points is as you get older and it gets – these other things kind of come, it gets a little more cloudy, and it gets more difficult to find somebody who is like a surgeon who can actually say this is actually the issue and does a thorough job, and we don't have to dig into that space. But I do think it's a little bit more challenging as you get older as some of these other things kind of creep in for people that are not doing as thorough evaluation. Another question for you is there a heightened risk of Alzheimer among people with ADHD?
You know, from what I've read of the literature, researchers are not sure what is association and what's causation. That is, does ADHD neurobiology make a person more vulnerable to age-related neurodegeneration, or does ADHD left untreated for years form more of a separate overlay on age-related decline? And that's kind of what I was talking about before, you know, that the sleep deficits, the, you know, the poor diet, the lack of exercise. And researchers say that both are reasonable hypotheses. But the important thing to understand now is that many adults with ADHD might be misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's or other forms of age-related cognitive impairment. And this distinction is critical because guess what? The treatments for Alzheimer's really don't do much if you have ADD or even really if you have Alzheimer's, if we're going to be honest. That's another good reason to rule it out. And in one good study I read, they queried memory clinics nationwide. This is where you take off mom and dad when they start, you know, leaving the groceries in the trunk of the car for a week. And they found out that ADHD screening was very rarely done at any of these clinics. So this is another case where we have this failure to have cross-disciplinary knowledge.
Wow.
And these people, you know, they might have managed okay until, you know, they got older, and then the ADD really, you know, combined with, as you say, you know, flagging hormones, lack of structure of work and all this. So this is, you know, we need to be really aware with our parents and grandparents and whoever that we're not just turning them over to some memory doc and thinking they're going to know everything. Because one thing I've learned in 15 years on the front lines of ADHD is specialists wear blinders. If you go to a sleep clinic, they're going to see everything as a sleep issue. They're often not going to recognize ADHD. You go to an audiologist, they're going to see, you know, auditory processing is nothing related to ADHD. So you really have to be a smart consumer and advocate for yourself and your loved ones.
Here's
what they suggest, just to answer your earlier question. The evaluation should include a cognitive history going all the way back to childhood and getting feedback from family members. So you'd ask things like, have you always had trouble waiting patiently in life? Is it hard for you to organize your time or your household items and keep up with household tasks such as bill paying? You know, that kind of thing. So you want to look over the lifespan.
Oh, my God. You know, you just sparked a fire in me. You're going to regret this. But
uh-oh.
You said something about specialties, and I don't know. Did you say they have blinders on?
Yeah, I call it stovepipe thinking. Yes.
Stovepipe thinking. I wrote an article years ago because I had some lower back issues. You know, if I go to a chiropractor, they give me a chiropractic answer. And if I go to a massage therapist, they give me a massage therapist answer. If I go to an orthopedic, they give me an orthopedic answer. If I go to a neurologist, they give me a neurologist answer. Because at the end of the day, they were trained to focus on what they're paying attention to. And one of my biggest frustrations in the world today is there's nobody case managing all this stuff. And I actually have my own little theories that coaching actually came about because we lost control of paying attention to the big picture, which is a whole other thing. But anyway, my point really is that what you said is so on point, and I have to highlight it. And one of the things I'm most proud of, if people will come to me when I'm coaching, I'm going to say, you have to understand I'm giving you the coaching answer, and you understand there's the psychologist answer and this therapist answer and da-da-da-da, because you need to be – I try to open that awareness. But what you said, I can't help but highlight it, is everybody has blinders on because – their answers are a function of what they're paying attention to. And if the answer is really outside of that, sometimes they're just really blind to seeing some other things. And so many of our shows are related to attention, and to kind of highlight what's obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to. Sometimes the answer is outside of that. And so forgive me. I'm doing really good. If Kirsten was here, she'd be like kind of pulling me in, saying, shut up, Jeff, but I just had to put
that
in because...
No, it's an important topic, whether we're talking about aging or whether we're talking about young people. And parents, it's cruel. It's a cruel thing to do to people with ADHD who are already having trouble, you know, maybe reading, processing information, prioritizing, motivating, to be told, okay, now you're just going to march out into that so-called healthcare system, and it's going to be a roulette wheel. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you're kidding me. And so people sometimes don't like to hear that. They want to think, oh, I can just go to this doctor, and they're going to have all the answers. Well, good luck with that. If that works, great. But I try to, you know, I kind of, in my private consultations, I try to act as a case manager, too, helping people keep track of all these things.
I'm going to have to tell you, Gina, I didn't know you did consultations, but I know you well enough, and I know that you're always trying to bring balance and some stuff to it. And so often that's what's missing, is somebody kind of back up and say, here's kind of what's going on. So I have to give you a little bit of a plug for what you do on this. I mean, you've been researching
this. Thanks. I don't promote it because I haven't had much time for it, but it's just so important. Somebody has to do it.
And if I can, everybody out there who's listening, Gina doesn't have ADHD, but her husband does, and she got into this as a result of that relationship, and she's been studying it for years, and personally, I got to believe it's a calling of yours, because you've gotten so immersed in this, and you actually you're the only person I know that has an online support group for the spouse who doesn't have ADHD, which is so missing. So a little bit of a plug for you. You're a great asset to the ADHD
community. It is a mission. I'm a knucklehead with a mission, but it's important work.
I'm a dog with a bone.
So anyway, what do we need to talk about? Old people. Have we gotten off track?
No, I'm going to go to a commercial break so I can collect myself and get back on track. So everybody, it's Gina Pera, GINAPERA.com and ADHDRollerCoaster.org, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit TimeTimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Gina Pera. We're having a great spirited conversation about ADHD in the elderly. And Gina, one of the questions I want to hold some space for everybody, I want to talk to you in a couple minutes about treatments for the elderly, medications, and then other strategies that might be out there. But before we do, during break, I was kind of interested. I was thinking about this a little bit, and the elderly right now grew up in a time when, oh God, it was minimal brain dysfunction in the 70s and the 60s, and I forget what it was another name back in the 30s and 40s, and it was almost like it didn't exist. But what we've learned is ADHD is so hereditary. So one of my thoughts, I'm just kind of curious, Gina, is What would be the impact on a family if somebody, an elderly, said, I went and got the diagnosis? How much would that impact positively and or negatively on their children and or grandchildren that actually might have ADHD?
Yes, you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly it. Because what happens sometimes is you get these real family friction because the grandparents are saying, we didn't have any of that in my day, and we just hunkered down. So there's a real conflict about giving medication to the child or the adult with ADHD, trying to have conversations. You know, you get into these complicated dynamics of parent and children, and sometimes the parents can feel like you're blaming. You know, you're blaming them for either being the genetic donor or for missing ADD when they were growing up. You know, parents can be vulnerable there. So there can be kind of this defense. They don't want to hear about it. But it can cause a lot of problems. And also you get someone who's having trouble, you know, with clutter and hoarding. And I hear that so much of their parents. And so these people with ADD, they're trying to help their parents and they're just overwhelmed. Because, you know, as far as their parents are concerned, they don't have a problem. Why are you nagging me? You know, that kind of thing.
One of the cool things about Attention Talk Radio is we get information out there, and we pride ourselves sometimes on covering topics that are niche. Like we did a show a couple years ago on being ADHD and gay at the same time. There's very little information out there.
Right.
We also did one on gender changes in ADHD a while ago. And the cool thing about the Internet is people who are curious about this can go and get information in a very anonymous way. And I highlight that stuff here because if you are maybe elderly and you suspect this and you're listening to this, a little bit of a call to action to you is that you can really change some stuff because so much of today's society is dealing with belief systems that were handed down to them for a while on some of this stuff, and there's a lot of strides that are being made with ADHD, and it's really cool because there's so much that can be done. There's a lot of hope and a lot of good things that the less we talk about it and the more we sweep it under the rug, the more challenging it can be, but there's so much that can be done for getting this stuff out. So if by chance you're an elderly person and you suspect and you had this, just think of the impact and the legacy that you could leave in your world if you got diagnosed. Particularly for your family members that are there, you could literally kind of help them unearth and change their paradigm about what's going on and maybe get them to seek help and treatment. Because one of the things, Gina, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you get the proper diagnosis and treatment, the research suggests that there's a lot of hope and a lot of things that you can do. So I'm saying that. So can you comment
on that? Can I read you one briefly, a case study
yeah,
from
yeah,
one of the
yeah,
research papers
please.
On this? Okay. A 67-year-old woman without relevant medical diseases reported forgetfulness and restlessness since her childhood. She remembers having troubles with her parents because of her fidgetiness. Her academic life was a failure. She changed from several schools because of her disabilities, and she dropped out of high school prior to graduation. Her professional life, she worked as a realtor, was difficult because she rarely arrived at work on time, missed appointments, and was less efficient than her colleagues. She never read an entire book because of her difficulty concentrating. She lost or misplaced personal objects. Okay. So it was clear to her that she had poor social and interpersonal skills compared to her family members. So they did a general physical and neurological examination, electrocardiogram, routine blood tests, and brain MRI did not show any significant changes from normal. But she fulfilled the DSM-4 criteria for ADHD, inattentive. She started with daily treatment with 10 milligrams methylphenidate. Second week of treatment, she reported improved concentration. Her family reported she was more organized, her bills were paid, and she did not make silly mistakes. What she really loved was she could concentrate and organize her activities. This case offers initial evidence that ADHD persists with aging and that its treatment improves symptomatology and quality of life. Now, you don't have to take medication. You know, it can be just, you know, no matter what your age, the knowing the strategies and having an explanation, because you know how much stress it causes not knowing why you're always doing these things. And once you know, you relax a little bit, you focus on targeted strategies.
Touche.
So, oh, can I tell you one more thing? What I
found? No, no, please, go ahead.
I found this in the Tuscaloosa News from 1958, a column called The Worry Clinic with a Dr. George Crane, and the headline is Mild Stimulants Aid Old People. And there's a, you know, the whole column is about that. And and one thing that he talks about, even anger or other emotion will likewise prod the heart and thus improve the circulation of the blood through the brain. You know, one thing I talk about in my book is self-medicating with provocation and anger.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, I'm seeing a lot of old people who are angry now, you know, and certain news stations make them angry. And I just can't help but think, how much are they self-medicating with anger? And you know, being opposed to something. So that's another thing.
That's,
you know, that, who knows?
All right, note to self, separate show, Gina on anger and self-medicating. We'll have a sequel to that one because I think there's more than an hour or so on that one.
But, you know,
sure.
I just love that column I found because that was 1958. You know, doctors knew then that, you know, a stimulant, dopamine receptors start dying off with your 50. When you're 50, people are bored, old people, they're not getting out and getting stimulated as much. Stimulants can help. So it is not a new idea. You know, what's new is that we're acknowledging and understanding exactly how it works.
Touché. A second ago, after the break, I talked about strategies for the elderly with ADHD. Can you speak to that for a second, strategies to help them or treatments?
Well, you know, Jeff, I think you would probably know as much about that, you know, as I would, because it's the same for everybody else, you know. Support, structure, goals, stimulation, getting out of the house, taking classes, exercise classes, finding a reason to get out of bed in the morning. One dear lady in our local ADHD group, I think she's probably 82 or something, she had been kind of high-functioning in her life. She had 5 kids. She did a lot of sewing. But I think what happened was having the children in the house and knowing that she had to do things, they were like environmental clues that she had to do something, and that was motivating. But now she's retired. She's tried all kinds of medication. They don't work, and she stays in bed every morning because she doesn't have a reason to get up, and she does the crossword puzzle. And so she'll get up at about noon, and I ask her, I'll say, but what do you have to get up for? You know, and she doesn't have anything. So, you know, if you can find new ways to get you interested and engaged in life, you know, I think that could make a difference.
Oh, my God, there's a whole other show here, too. Because, you know, we've had Dr. Olivardi on talking about sleep and sleep hygiene, which is a big deal. But at the end of the day, if there's nothing that you're looking forward to stimulate you to get out of bed, then you just end up sitting there, you look depressed, you have sleep issues, and da-da-da. And another thing that you said that was kind of fascinating to me that's in my work coaching people, there's so many of those with ADHD that can do repetitive and boring routine tasks in the company of somebody else, but they struggle to do it by themselves. And I've given umpteen presentations on the impact of ADHD and exercise. Matter of fact, I'm doing one on Monday with Linda Rogley, the ADD diva. And the thing that's interesting to me is exercise in itself is a boring routine task. And most of those with ADHD don't realize is that it's far more social than they imagine. And if they focus on the social side of it, exercise happens. But if they focus on the exercise, it never actually happens because there's not enough stimulation because it's really actually a relatively boring type of thing. And I'm bringing that up because so often those with the ones that I've coached is they become reclusive and they come detached from the very thing that motivates them. Just being in the presence of doing something with someone else is so motivating to them. And when they don't have those structures, they kind of recluse themselves, and which is kind of counterintuitive. That's the worst thing for them to do. As they back away, they lose the structure, they lose the motivation, they get more bored, and it kind of cascades on itself. So
exactly.
That's my opinion, but I'm interested.
You have to watch what you call it, exercise. You know, like, who wants to do exercise? But if you say, do you like dancing? Do you like, hiking? Do you like, things that are more fun, and
yep. Well, in my presentations, I talk about the difference between team sport, individual exercise, team sports, individual team sports, non-competitive sports, and then just exercise. Like chopping wood is a form of exercise, but most people, when you say exercise, they think about putting spandex on and going to the gym, and you don't realize shoveling snow is a form of exercise. And there's all this stuff that's out there. Anyway, not to give a plug on that kind of stuff, but I think so many people kind of get lost in that. And as you get older and you get detached from some of that stuff, some of those natural motivators and things that you do just become more difficult and exacerbate the situation for that crowd.
And, of course, people in middle age with ADHD can have trouble with these things because they need to go to a dance, a Zynga, whatever it is, class at 3 o'clock, and a Zumba. Zynga's a game, right? Zumba, but they, they get wrapped up in, Wikipedia or something. And so I think, the same strategies are going to apply for older people, but they might be more socially isolated because their kids aren't coming in and out. They might have lost contact with friends. Because there's always that friends issue for a lot of people.
Oh, and that reminds me, I have another question. Don't let me extend this too far. And I don't think you haven't answered this, but do you know of any research that correlates higher incidence of Parkinson's disease to those with ADHD?
You know, I have looked into that, and I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Because, it's a different kind of dopamine, issue we're talking about. But I wouldn't be surprised if certain, maybe like substance abuse, whether it's cocaine or whatever, if people with ADHD that might be self-medicating with that could become more vulnerable to Parkinson's.
And real quick, for our listening audience out there, I'm way oversimplifying this, so please don't look into it. But the mechanism of the sprain of neurotransmitters and the synapses with those with ADHD, we've interviewed some experts in the past. The mechanism is a miss, and stimulants basically make some adjustments, whether it sprays it and uptakes less quickly, whatever. But bottom line is, a lot of ADHD is a dopamine issue, and Parkinson's on the other side is it starts to deteriorate, as I understand it. So it's very much kind of a dopamine, which is the question that I had is kind of, and I'm a little ignorant in that space, but
I'm not an expert either, but I think it's they don't have the dopamine.
It deteriorates over a period of time and it erodes, so you don't have it. And so there's not the motivational drive to do those types of things, which makes it difficult to hold thoughts and among other things.
Well, it's also motor control,
Yes.
But the stimulants, they hold the dopamine molecule in the synapse longer. So there have to be dopamine molecules to begin with. So, but again, I'm not a neuro. That's my general.
if this last 90-second conversation intrigues you, listeners, go back and listen. We did an interview with Kenneth Bloom, I think the end of March of 2014, and Gina was kind of cool because I get this guy on, and he coined the phrase reward deficit syndrome or whatever it was. And he got on the show, and I asked him, are we addicted to drugs or are we addicted to dopamine? He said, that's a really good question. I've never been asked, because at the end of the day, we're actually addicted to dopamine. The drugs that we're addicted to are the ones that adjust that mechanism in there. And it was a fascinating learning for me, and I was very proud of my question. Whenever I asked somebody, I said, no, nobody's ever asked that before. I thought it was kind of fascinating. So we digressed a little bit. I want to kind of bring back around, because I need to kind of wrap this up. Gina, based on tonight, is there anything else that we haven't covered? You got a nugget or two that you want to share before we kind of pull this together?
Let me check my notes here.
We covered a lot of real estate.
Yes. I would say, you know, as with anyone, you're going to have to be persistent in finding physicians and others who can help you suss this out. But in my experience, when people with ADHD receive validation, and when someone says, no, this is your right, you should be able to have an evaluation, that kind of lights a fire under their butt, and they do it, you know. They find the person. And I have had this experience, whether, you know, it's an online friend in Lithuania or whatever, just situations that seem impossible, but once they really receive validation that, yes, you should be able to have this kind of an evaluation, it kind of resolves the determination to find someone who will be able to help them. So I would just encourage everyone to know that you have a right to your own good brain, as Dr. Amen would say, and don't stop until you find somebody that can help you and take you seriously, because the literature's there. This is not an iffy thing. And it's important. It's important to your life, your longevity, and your health.
Usually I can comment on something, but I got nothing to comment because it was so brilliant. Gina, I don't think that's ever happened on the show. You said it so well.
Maybe you're getting old, Jeff.
Now, listen, if you're going to say
just
that,
teasing.
Remember, it's the 30th anniversary of my 21st birthday, so never forget that. Here's the deal. My sole goal on this show was I wanted to illuminate some of the complications that was here, because it's really about getting the discussion going and calling for research. Gina, you've done a great job about sharing what's out there, but at the end of the day, I think that what I'm learning is ADHD is not a kid thing, it's not an adult thing, it's a lifespan type issue. There's a lot of people out there that are impacted by this, and they're suffering kind of in silence and some different things. And if I can do nothing more than create an anonymous way for people to get information and actually get them thinking and have a conversation, then this show was a total success. And I have to tell you, Gina, I've been thinking about this for a very long time. I have certain topics that I have in my archive. I've been like, for 3 years, I think I've been wanting to do this, and it dawned on me that you were the perfect person to do this, and you knocked the cover off the ball, because I think you really illuminated a lot of the issues. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but the idea is just to get people thinking. So, Gina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff, for airing this important topic. I hope it's helped some people.
And get it to AFP and get those guys writing about it. And everybody, you need to go out there and check out GinaPera.com, ADHDRollerCoaster.org. And if Gina can remember and if I can remember, she's going to send me her e-book on this particular topic, and we'll send a notification out in Attention Talk News. If you haven't figured that out, go to Attention Talk News and sign up for a newsletter. So with that, everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye.